In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Advent, he comes. Hosanna to the Son of David, he comes. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, he comes. Advent, and that's what Advent means, he comes, has now begun. Christ our King comes. And so we begin the Advent season, the season that looks forward to the coming of the King with the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, having just raised Lazarus from the dead, with the news of his arrival preceding him, with the messianic fervor in the crowd sweeping everyone in Jerusalem, Christ the King, the Son of David, arrives in the royal city, Jerusalem, the city of peace. It was ordained, preordained by God before the very foundation of the world, all according to the divine plan of salvation. And so it is that Jesus could instruct Peter and John, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. The disciples went and did as Jesus said and had directed them, and it was all just as the Lord had spoken. It was ordained. It was preordained by God so that the prophet Zechariah prophesied, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. It was preordained by God so that Israel's history foreshadowed it. When Solomon, David's son, the king who would usher in Israel's greatest age of earthly prosperity, ascended to the throne, he was set on the king's mule and entered the royal city to the shouts of the people and public acclamation. The king who is even greater than Solomon, the heavenly Solomon, has arrived. The king comes. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. He is the Son of David, the rightful heir of David's throne, but he is also called the Son of the Most High. He comes to receive the throne of his father, David, not just for a single lifetime, but he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So Christ makes his royal entry. He is the king, but what sort of king is he, and what is his kingdom? According to his divine omnipotence, his kingdom consists in this, that he rules all things in heaven and upon earth with might and power. As we heard last week, by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Or as Holy Scripture testifies elsewhere, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. This is the kingdom of power by which Christ rules all things according to his divinity, or what we sometimes call his left-hand kingdom. But he enters Jerusalem in royal procession, not pulled by a chariot with war horses, not accompanied by soldiers, but on the colt of a donkey, humble and lowly. He enters the city not by the citadel gate, which would be the natural path from Bethage, but through the temple gate. By coming humbly and through the temple gate, he shows us the unique kind of kingdom that he has come to establish, not a kingdom of this world, but a spiritual kingdom. He is not taking the citadel of Jerusalem to rule as an earthly king, but he comes to establish a spiritual kingdom, the holy kingdom of his holy Christian church, where he will rule not by power alone, but by grace. Grace in the kingdom of grace, which we sometimes call the right-hand kingdom. This is precisely why the acclamation of the crowds crying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest, will so soon turn to the braying of crucify, crucify. They wanted a Messiah who would bring earthly blessings, not heavenly. Their eyes and hearts were on worldly things. They wanted freedom from Rome, victory over their enemies, wealth and food and power. But that is not the kingdom that Christ came to establish. And when it became clear that Christ would not be the sort of Messiah they thought he should be, the crowds turned on him. Eyes and hearts set on earthly things, set on an earthly kingdom. They missed the spiritual heavenly kingdom and thus rejected their king. They can only gain entrance by letting their base passions be crucified by the Lord's law and turning to the king that they rejected in faith. This worldly spirit is still very much alive today. Those preachers of the prosperity gospel fall into the same error when they preach that faith in Christ will bring health, wealth, and success in life, your best life now. It is a seeking after an earthly kingdom and a worldly Messiah. These things are not promised to us before the establishment of the kingdom of glory at the end of days. And it is a temptation we all face when we fall into sickness or deprivation or temptation and similar crosses. Whatever afflictions we endure, when we cry to our Lord and King for help and he does not immediately give us what we want, but instead answers us that there will be suffering in this world and that my grace is sufficient for you. But it is also in these times that faith can most be active. Cling to Christ the King and his promises despite all the outward circumstances, and thus receive most fully the spiritual kingdom in receiving the King. He comes humble on the colt of a donkey and through the temple gate, because it will not be from the citadel that he rules, but from holy Mount Zion in his Christian church. He enters into Jerusalem to allow himself to be conquered by the Romans in order to save the Romans, condemned by the mob and their leaders to save those who rejected him, condemned as a sinner for our sins to bring us an everlasting kingdom. There on his cross he is high and he is lifted up. He himself is the temple, the dwelling place of God, so that what was prophesied by Isaiah might come to pass. In the latter days, that mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. He comes to bring all people into his kingdom so that they might flow to him like a river. He sends out his heralds. He sends them out with the good news of the gospel to gather people from east and to west, to gather them by the preaching that he has died for us, that he makes peace for us between us and God. He truly makes Jerusalem the city of peace by the consecration of his blood, and that he was risen for our justification. He makes us citizens of his kingdom by the waters of holy baptism and teaches us his ways and the ways to walk in his word. He nourishes and sustains us by the royal feast of his body and his blood and rules in our hearts as he conforms us to his own divine image. He rules over his kingdom of grace by the means of grace. The central message of our text today is that Jesus is King and he comes. He is King. The King of kings, the government of all things is upon his shoulders. He is King in the kingdom of power in which he rules all of creation. He is kingdom over the kingdom of grace, his church, where he rules by word and sacrament. And on the last day, he will inaugurate a new kingdom, his kingdom of glory. And just as there is a threefold kingdom, there is a threefold coming. He came once in mercy, humble, born of a virgin, riding on a colt to the royal city, dying for the forgiveness of our sins. He comes to us regularly in his kingdom of grace, distributing the benefits of his heavenly rule in his word and most intimately in the Holy Communion. And he will come again in the clouds with great glory to judge the living and the dead, to inaugurate the kingdom of glory. once and for all bringing an end to all sin and all death and creating a new heavens and a new earth with a new heavenly Jerusalem for his saints to dwell, with himself being their all in all. Ave Christe Rex, hail Christ the King. Advenit, he comes. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. These ushers may come forward to receive the offering. We will rise for the singing of hymn 609.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Stir up your power, O Lord, to rescue us from the dangers of this dark world by the advent of your Son, that we may ever walk in his light and learn the way of peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, you have made us glad to enter into your presence to hear the good news of our Savior and to receive your gifts. Preserve your church against all her enemies. Lead us to walk in your ways and to follow your path, that when Jesus returns in his glory, we may welcome him with glad hosannas. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord of love, visit our homes and defend us from the temptation to walk in the works of darkness. Clothe us with the armor of light. Preserve the single in holiness, and lead husbands and wives to love one another and raise their children in the faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty Father, you are the authority to whom all temporal authorities must bow. Give wisdom and godly insight to our President, Donald, our Governor, Mike, and all who make, administer, or judge our laws. Grant peace among nations, that swords may be beaten to plowshares and spears to pruning hooks, while also defending those such as Sean when the sword must be taken up. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, you have given us your Son to bear the burdens of our sin and to grant us healing and hope. Hear us on behalf of those in great need, those afflicted with physical and mental ills, those whose hearts are touched by grief, and those in their last days on earth, especially Pauline, Kelly, Cindy, Pam, Jared and Brenna, Kathy, Angie, Jordan, and Aubrey. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank, bless, and praise you forever that you have sent your Son to reign over us poor sinners, who for our trespasses deserve rightly to remain in bondage to sin and Satan. You have given us a righteous and humble King, who through his death has saved us from sin and eternal death. We implore you, enlighten, govern, and direct us by your Holy Spirit, that we may remain faithful to this righteous King and Savior, and not be offended by his humble appearance or despised word, but believe in him and obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings being ordered by thy governance may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Thank you all for making out for this glorious first Sunday in Advent as we look forward to the coming of the King despite all the sleet and cold and wind and all that good stuff. So it's a pleasure seeing you all here this morning. Some announcements for the upcoming week. The Advent Midweek Cookies sign-up sheets are on the bulletin board. And also, that means Advent midweek services are beginning at 7:30 each Wednesday, starting with this Wednesday. So please come out for that and join us. We this year will be going over, our theme is Emmanuel, God with us, the reasons for Christ's coming. And so join us for those midweek services. Offering envelopes are available in the parish hall to be picked up. So this year's new envelopes are available. Go check those out and get your offering envelopes. The practice for the Christmas recital is beginning. Details on that are available in the bulletin. So children and parents, come join us for Christmas recital practice so we can have a lovely recital on Christmas Eve. The Ladies' Aid Christmas Dinner RSVPs are due by December 7th, so keep that in mind as well. Any announcements that I have missed this morning? Okay, nominating committee meeting after the service. If you don't think you want to run for an office, you actually do. So Talk to Kevin. Anything else? Depart in peace.